Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
It's a dark day in Boston sports. Well, at least in the football side of the ledger. Because the Yankees, yes, the hated Yankees, win 4-0. That also hurts, too. Just the shutout. I know the offense really wasn't good the entire series, but it hurts that you get shut out. And it also hurts that you didn't lose because Judge hit a three-run home run or Stanton hit. They out-small-balled you. You got Jazz Chisholm scoring from first. You got these little seeing-eye ground balls making their way into the out. You got little bloopers turning. Like, that's infuriating. The Yankees didn't even have to show up to beat you. You gagged it away. And most importantly, you became the first team in the history of baseball to win game one and lose the series, Ted Johnson.
Yep. You pounded that into our brains yesterday. And so it's probably sweet justice that the Yankees won for the first time in any of these three-game series. So what a heart-wrenching bummer of a game. But we'll have plenty, I'm sure, time to talk about it for the rest of the show. But, not the way you wanted to have this season ended, but some good things to look back on and to look forward to.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick before we get underway here for our three-point stances. Let's go to Lynn in New Hampshire, get her thoughts on the Red Sox loss. What's up, Lynn?
Yes, hi. I'm just trying to weigh in here. I'm a big Jaren Duran fan. I know he hasn't been up to his snuff lately, and we're all hoping for more. But, you know, I think...
Son of a Lynn.
I was really curious. What did her line say?
No, just thoughts on Red Sox loss. I think she was going to defend, based on the tone of that, the start, defend Jaren Duran, too hard on him. I said earlier he may have played his last game in a Red Sox uniform. Mm-hmm. We gave out Dan Ball's stats. Left-handed hitters OPS at Yankee Stadium with at least 100 at-bats. There's 377 of them. He is 371 on the list among the lowest. Yeah. Awful numbers. Yeah. And anyone who hoped he was going to bounce back and use the night before as motivation, inspiration, whatever, he did not.
Yeah.
It was bad.
And in my, look, he's been very vocal about a lot of his issues that he struggled with, mental health issues. And so there's probably a lot of people that feel like Lynn, but, I can understand her feelings towards him, but, This is big stakes right here. So you got to put out the best team. And so that was the guy that I thought they could have moved on from at the trade deadline. I know he could be a little spark plug at times, but he just was way too inconsistent this year. And I just feel like it's not going to get any better.
Correct.
I feel like he is who he is at this point. I mean, he's 28, almost 29 years old.
And he's going to need to be paid soon. And we can get back to this a little bit later. But just to be clear, Lynn, I feel bad for Jaren Duran, the person. But as the player, I have to hold him to the standard and the expectation that he was a top 10 MVP candidate. He's a guy that's a key player on your team. He's your leadoff hitter. I need him, to make contact with the baseball occasionally and give us a chance to win a baseball game. But it is 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson is here, and it is time for the three-point stance.
319!
Ready!
319!
319!
Yeah, there you go!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Boston up! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're mourning the loss of your baseball team like us, you got to get Glassman for that. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you lead us off. You get 60 seconds. That's the number for your opening stance. Are you ready?
60 seconds for most of us, and then Ted goes. But yes, I'm ready.
Yeah, whatever. It's a moving target. Go ahead.
So there's a lot of hope around the Patriots, the Red Sox pitching staff, that, you know, you have an ace in Garrett Crochet. You have a developing young player in Bayo. You have Giolito, a veteran. Now you all of a sudden are adding guys like Connelly Early and Peyton Tolley. Oh, my God, there's going to be such a pitching staff. Even forget about the guys coming back from injury. And that's great. And there is more optimism about this rotation than there has been in a long time in Boston. But then it kind of hit me yesterday watching this game as Cam Schlittler kicked the crap out of you and had a historic performance at the age of 23 after Max Fried was good. And you look at the depth of the Yankees rotation on the other side of this border war rivalry down with New York. When they get Garrett Cole back, they're going to have a great rotation as well. And you could certainly argue that their young stud up-and-comer, who was throwing not 98, as everybody told me he did last night, but 101 with regularity with Schlittler. Now, maybe that is just a juiced-up wild-card playoff series gun on ESPN, or maybe they have their own elite ace. So, yes, the Red Sox have a fun rotation moving forward in theory, but the Yankees might have a scary rotation moving forward when Cole gets back.
Scary, fun rotation, great rotation. I still sort of see some holes and issues with the Red Sox rotation. Like, you've got one of the three best pitchers in baseball,
yeah,
anchoring your rotation, who is now in his prime, in Crochet. Side note, if Crochet pitched as well as he did in game one, he might have still lost last night.
Oh, he would have lost.
Which is,
you
which
couldn't
is,
score unless he was going to pinch hit and hit a bomb or find some way to score a god
good
dang run. He wasn't going to have, you would have lost 0-0 right. Somehow or something.
But like, now you don't know what's going on with Giolito's elbow. Bayo was shown the spotlight and crapped his pants. Yes, Connelly Early looks tremendous. Like, I put none of last night on that kid. That kid's got the stuff. But Tolley, is he going to learn a second or a third pitch? I don't know. I see question. I see the need, Andy, this offseason for the Red Sox to do what many, including yourself, beg them to do at the deadline and go get another stud and really anchor down the rotation.
Well, we've been told that Joe Ryan's the going to be primary target number 1, 2, and 3 for the Red Sox.
Still the one.
Talk to the insiders there. They still feel, even though that deal never was consummated at the trade deadline, that is still a target of theirs in the offseason.
Yep. And there's a couple other names I've heard bandied about as well, but Joe Ryan still tops the list. And maybe you've helped yourself. Maybe Tolley's first performance and maybe Connelly Early coming up and showing what he can do over 5, maybe they had increased value. So now when you package that together to get Joe Ryan, because I'll feel a hell of a lot better about the rotation if you add another veteran. So it goes Crochet, Joe Ryan, Bayo, Giolito, and whatever's left. That's a pretty good rotation.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist right now.
If you had to pick one, what's submarine their chances of advancing? Was it their hitting or the pitching?
The hitting. The hitting didn't show up. You were not a major league lineup last night in terms of the way you approached that game.
We thought they were going into the game.
Yeah, we were hopeful. We were optimistic. We were wrong. We're wrong a lot on this show. It's wrong-headed radio from 2 to 6, and we were dead wrong for anybody to believe in it. Fitzy was right. Because Fitzy doesn't root for the Red Sox anymore, and he told us the Yankees were going to win.
Yep.
He doesn't even like the rotation.
Let's just go ahead and change the narrative just to make yourself feel better. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. Just go ahead and twist history.
If he feels better about it, huh, Fitzy?
Yep. Whatever. Ted, I am here for whatever makes Andy feel better about himself. That's primary job number one, sir.
Well, let's see if your 3-point stance can do that, Fitzy. Are you ready?
I am indeed, friend. Ready, set, hike.
All right. Here's 60 seconds to hike the ball. Go ahead.
Okay, so yesterday, the ultimate cool stat bro was tweeted out by ESPN's own QB analyst and, of course, legendary NFL backline end zone stepper, Dan Orlovsky, who shared with us that thus far on the 2025 NFL season, Drake May, your Patriots quarterback, has been responsible for 77% of the team's yards. Now, you may at first jump to the fore and say, wow, that's awesome. This kid is this kid is leaps and bounds beyond what I thought he would be at this point. That's incredible. Drake May is more than three quarters of the offense. Holy smokes, we got a real one. And the answer to that is, yes, you're correct. Drake May is legit. Drake May is proving that he may indeed be the one. However, that is very imbalanced. And I do not believe that that is sustainable. To go through an entire season with your quarterback accounting for almost 80% of all your offensive yards is going to prove for you to be one-dimensional to a degree that the better teams will adjust. And now that you're going up against this Sunday, one of the worst rushing defenses with their nose tackle who has a bum wheel in Ed Oliver, now is the time for New England to get their rushing game in gear, if it's possible, and lessen the load on Drake May so he's not responsible for 80% of the offense.
I'll say this. The one thing about Drake, yeah, he is. He's just like Josh early in his career was carrying the offense for Buffalo for most of his early, kind of seasons in the NFL. But at least there's the ball is being spread around to multiple players. It's not like it's just – we got a couple of guys that he's kind of targeting, so it'd be much easier to game plan for an offense like that if they knew what his targets were. And really, you don't know from game to game who's getting them. It seems like Steph Diggs is getting more consistently targeted now more than ever, but the tight ends one game, then it's the running backs the other game. So at least they're keeping teams off balance, spreading the ball around.
Yeah, and he still doesn't have his running mate, whoever that's going to be. Like, he has different running mates, as you point out, each week. But if you look like obviously Derrick Henry in Baltimore, that's a running mate. Literally, that's like a legitimate shareholder. Or what they did with Saquon Barkley last year when he arrives. Like, there is still that guy.
You're talking about that running back position? Or you're talking about a one receiver?
Or it could be a number one receiver that is of that true level. Because I don't think Stephon Diggs is going to get to that true level where it's transformational the way he did the first time. He did it in Buffalo where he transformed their offense and Josh Allen because he was him then. He was 1,500 yards. He was all pro. And that's the next step in this process. Doesn't mean they can't win now, Fitzy, but that's the next step is getting that, whether it's Rob Gronkowski, whether it's Julian, and I don't even care what the guy is, but that second superstar, that second all-pro caliber
player. He's not there yet.
Nope.
Right? Like, I don't believe that guy is on the team as of yet.
Not.
There's a nice complement of players. He doesn't even really have his Deion Branch yet to go back, Ted, to the early days of your offense coming into bloom and winning Super Bowls. That guy isn't even really there yet. And if there is to be one in the next couple of years, I think that will elevate the game. But you're right. Spreading the ball around, good distribution, sort of using the passing game as a de facto running game in the interim is good. I'm just kind of hoping that it becomes a bit more of the focal point of the offense sooner than later.
Can I just tell you something very, very interesting?
Sure.
That I think you guys, you're talking, this is good stuff. This is a good discussion. I want to highlight what we're talking about here and just further emphasize it by telling you how Josh came in the league, Josh Allen, in 2018.
Yeah.
And he averaged 52.8 completion percentage his first year, 58.8 his second year, which both are very, very bad. And then had 3,089 yards in his second year, only 2,074 yards in his first year. He threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns in his first year. And then in 2020, it all changed. He went from 58.8 completion percentage all the way up to 69.2.
Nice.
And he went from 3,889 yards in 2019 all the way up in 2020 to 4,500 yards of passing. What changed? Do you know what changed?
I am going to just haphazardly throw a guess. Stephon Diggs arrived?
Stephon Diggs showed up in 2020 and had 1,500 yards, eight touchdowns, 1,500 yards, average 12.1 per catch. So you bring in somebody like that, our true number ones. Obviously, we're getting the older version of Steph Diggs. We're not getting that version. But that just to highlight your point, you get – now's the time to go get the A.J. Brown. Everybody wanted A.J. Brown this year. I guess it maybe looks pretty good right now, but I just felt like they were a little bit of a year away. This year, to me, that should be a high priority.
As Brian Hoyer said, players over plays. Right now, he's making plays. He's running plays. He's distributing the ball. But I don't think he has a player that he says, in this situation, Josh, I don't care what you say. Yeah. I'm going to this certain person. And that's the next step in the evolution of Drake May's career, probably.
Yes.
But also this offense. And when you start to think of how good it can be. And because Quick aside question here for you, Ted. As a former, in case people aren't familiar, Ted Johnson played in the NFL, played Whoa. Defense. Yeah, we hide that fact sometimes. We need to promote it a little bit more. As a defensive player, and not just you as a linebacker, but as a unit, is it harder to deal with a team like this that doesn't have elite players that, you know, they may or may not be playing well? Or is it harder to deal with an offense that you know that Rob Gronkowski is there? Like, you have to start by figuring out how to stop Rob Gronkowski. Is that harder, easier? Like,
I think it's harder. I think it's harder to deal with the team that has what the Patriots are kind of doing.
Yeah.
It's where you have an electric quarterback who can do a lot with his feet, create a lot of creativity with his feet, and then also can basically distribute the ball anywhere to anyone on the field. I think that's a lot harder because, you know, we were so good at trying to predict what they were going to do, to game plan for what they were going to do. And teams, if you're just going to one or two guys in critical situations, then it's a lot easier to game plan and to defend, I think, than the team that you're not really sure where they're going with the ball at any time in any situation.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Okay, Deadball.
Interesting stuff indeed from Ted Johnson, who is next here on our three-point stance. Ted, are you ready?
I'm ready, Dan.
All right, here are 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
All right, so this show likes to use this word, probably a little bit too much, but vibing. But I just want to say that Josh McDaniels and Drake May are vibing.
Yeah.
Those two are working really well together. Right now, you got Drake May at throwing 74% completion percentage. How about this? Steph Diggs is fourth most efficient wide receiver in the NFL, catching 19 of 22 passes thrown to him. Teams are playing a lot of zone coverage versus the Pats offense. Why? Because Drake May can run, so they don't want to turn their backs and cover him man-to-man. So they are facing him, and there's a lot of holes to be exploited in that zone, which Steph Diggs is excellent in beating zone coverage. You also got the fact that Drake May is doing a really good job of manipulating with his eyes, his shoulders. Hopefully the pump fake is going to come next so he can manipulate defenses. But here's the kicker right here. Josh McDaniels, get this, guys. Josh McDaniels is entering last week, had the most, schemed up the most open window throws in the NFL. Not the Miami Dolphins, not the LA Rams, not the San Francisco 49ers and the Shanahan offense. But a Josh McDaniels offense is creating the most space and most open window throws in the NFL. And you add all that other stuff that I just talked about with Drake May and Steph Diggs, you got two guys that are vibing right now on offense. And let's continue to see that go.
You're speaking my language, Ted. I'm a big Josh McDaniels guy. You know that. And I continue to say he is going to be a strength of this team. He is going to the evolution of him learning what Drake May is, because I think Drake May is unique. Well, first of all, we know he's unique, but he's also unique to what Josh has experienced. And I think maybe that takes some time to harness that, mold that, whatever that relationship is going to be. But it feels like it's rolling pretty nice.
It's based off that first game, I thought we were in big trouble.
Yep.
That first game against Las Vegas, I was just, you saw me. I was starting to question everything. and then it just slowly, they've gotten better and better. I think a lot of people, I just was like, what are we doing here? And that was just a terrible game plan, but Josh's game plans have gotten better and better each week, so I give him credit, man.
And Fitzy, Josh is a polarizing guy. He always has been. He's had his, like, people that think he's really good, like me or Brian Hoyer, and then there's others, even when he was in his heyday with Brady, thought he kind of got in the way or had an ego, tried to do too much, tried to show something.
He's only good because of Brady. Yes. Oh, good, another draw on 3rd and 7. Oh, a screen pass on 1st down. What a surprise. The guy knows more, but the guy, I hate to say it, but it's the cliche of, like, the guy forgets more about football today than most people know. And where are all the McDaniels detractors now? Now that Drake May's numbers are flourishing, he's in the top 10 of everything. And like you just said, Ted, people are getting open and the offense is starting to come to life. Where are they now, huh?
And I also go back and I'm not going to ask you to get it, Stiz, but we played audio when Josh McDaniels was in his off year last year, and he was on Julian Edelman's podcast, and he talked about Drake May, and he said something to the effect, I'm going to be interested to watch him to see what he wants to become in the NFL, a runner, a thrower, a pocket passer, use all of it to his strengths. And that was him as an outside observer, just watching it. Mm-hmm. Now he's an inside observer to see where that goes and maybe even push him however that works best. So that's an interesting factor in this as well. But right now, it certainly seems like it's working.
It's working, man. Keep doing those moving pockets. Let's see some boots, more boots in the red zone like last week. Boots out of shotgun, boots out of under center, right to the boots to the right, boots to the left. Oh my gosh, they got everything kind of going right now, which is extremely hard to defend an offense that can be as creative as it can. This offense can be when you have that type of athlete, being quarterback.
And do you believe that Josh believes in Drake May's intellect? He's had some comments about, when he comes off and I ask him questions, he gives you the right answer.
Yeah.
Like the play might not have worked, but what he tells me is what actually happened or what you'll see on film. Do you think they legit are vibing on an intellectual level?
I think so, yeah. And I think that's probably one of the key. I think it helps for this job, recall. But I think it really helps if you, in that quarterback position, to be able to come off the field and remember what you saw in the play that can either help you not do it again or improve on it somehow, that you can come over and tell the coach, yeah, this is what I saw.
Right, and I've heard stories like there are some quarterbacks that the OC will ask the guy, like, no, I couldn't throw it there, coach. The backside safety had dropped, and then you go to film, and there's no backside safety.
Right.
And that kind of hinders the development of that relationship, yep. Whereas, no, coach, I couldn't throw there because actually the middle linebacker, weirdly, he got extra depth, so there's no way I could get over his head, and you go to film. Oh, yeah, the middle linebacker did a good job getting depth here, and that helps the relationship. All right, that's going to do it for our three-point stances today. Up next, we're going to continue to talk a little football because our buddy Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, will join us. We'll see how optimistic he's feeling about Drake May. Is there still a dark side and dumbness to Drake May's game, as Tom Curran said? Or is this a chance for Drake May to have a coming out party on Sunday Night Football? We'll talk about that with Mike Giardi next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give us what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Patriots Friday here on WEEI Afternoons, and that means one thing at 3:30 on a Friday. It means we're going to talk to our buddy Mike Giardi, who has the best open for a phone hit in all of radio.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens, Ted Johnson, and now Mike Giardi.
That is one of the better intros.
It's tremendous. And I want to let all of you guys know, at whatever point we play Giardi's intro and he says bulging disc, if I don't chuckle, smile, or laugh, call a doctor or call a coroner or something, because I'm done. I'm dead inside. There's something really serious wrong with me. Because, Mike, that gets me to laugh. I know it wasn't as funny for you in the moment because I was there with you.
It wasn't the best.
And I remember how you felt, but we came out the other side, and we can all laugh about it now. So let's get to the man of the moment. We were just talking. Ted Johnson was talking about Drake May. Fitzy was talking about Drake May, the numbers he's putting up, the percentage of the offense that's on his shoulders. What are we in the midst of right now? Is this like an early pop, and then there's going to be a regression before you can have the real development? Is this just a good quarterback getting together with a good offensive coordinator and we're seeing something special develop before our eyes? Where are we in this budding Drake May superstardom story?
I definitely think we've taken our first steps towards the year two leap.
And you have to say, just put it out there to everybody, the schedule's not awesome. Hasn't been awesome the first 4 weeks. Haven't played the iron of the league.
Josh Allen's isn't either. Wait, whoa. Josh Allen's isn't either. His schedule sucks, too.
They're both soft, though. They're both soft.
100%. And what I was going to say before you rudely interrupted me, Andy, was that...
Welcome to our world.
Yes, was that... If you look at the schedule going forward, and Aaron Schatz had a tweet about this today, former Football Outsiders guy, like it's one of the easiest schedules in the last, I don't even remember how many years he said, but it's like mind-blowing how light it is at this juncture in terms of the opponent's DVOA. So there is a real opportunity to continue on this trend where we go from a few steps to maybe, you know, taking a whole flight of stairs if possible. But this is a big one. Even if Buffalo's defense is not what it's been, you know, the environment – the crowd's going to be lubed up. It's going to be loud. They haven't faced that at all this year. You know, your one away game was in Miami, and quite frankly, there was as many Patriots fans as there were Miami fans there. This is not going to be that.
Hey, Mike, are you surprised to see how efficient Drake May is going to Steph Diggs? I mean, I think he's fourth in the NFL in just efficiency, catching 19 of the 22 balls thrown his way. They're playing him. It feels like, if the numbers are correct, and I'm sure they are, that, you know, half the time in the slot, but he's also playing a little bit more Z and X in the boundary. That 4th-and-3 was him on the boundary. Are you surprised that he's become as efficient as he has with Drake?
Well, I mean, this is kind of what we talked about in advance of the season, right, is that Steph is such a smart receiver that – he was going to have a leg up on these other guys, even if he couldn't run as well as he, and still I don't think he's running as well as he used to, which makes a lot of sense. It's not been a year since the ACL, but he has great feel. You know, we were talking about Pop Douglas, right? And like, he's quick and he's fast and but he doesn't have that feel. He doesn't understand when he's got to settle down or when, oh, I've got this guy set up, or, hey, I've got to look for this back shoulder here. Steph has all that in his bag. He's done it for what, this is the 10th or 11th year. Like, he knows how to play the position. So his savvy and his feel has allowed him to connect with the quarterback. And it's clear, I mean, with the exception of Hunter Henry, that Drake feels as comfortable throwing to Steph as anybody on the team.
All right, Mike, we're roughly now with a 17-game season. It's kind of weird numerically, but about a quarter of the way through the season. I know, it's ridiculous. but, okay, quarter-ish of the way through the season. What word or phrase would you use to describe the Pats' offensive line thus far?
Pretty good. I mean, you know, it's not been perfect. You know, had the fourth quarter sort of meltdown a little bit, especially Will Campbell and Jared Wilson on the left side in the Vegas game. A couple moments in the Steelers game where Herbig got Campbell, and there was a couple other plays. You know, they had a hard time blocking Cam Hayward, which everybody's had a hard time blocking him for almost 15 years now. But by and large, pretty good. I know there are metrics that are all over the place. Some tell you it's the fourth pass blocking unit in the league. Some tell you it's more middle of the road. Doesn't really matter to me. What matters is it's so much better than it's been. And I think that's allowing sort of a Drake to settle in and feel more comfortable in these games. You know, obviously last year he had to run for his life pretty much at all times. And now it's sort of like, hey, this is holding up all right. I can sit back here for another beat and make that throw.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. And Patriots Friday, sorry, getting ahead of myself. We're heading into a big game in which we're going to talk about Drake May and Josh Allen. And yes, Drake May probably has to try to score with Josh Allen, who has scored 30 points every game this season or more. Mm-hmm. But defensively, now that you have Christian Gonzalez back, and now that you have Milton Williams back on the practice field today, and now that you have Robert Spillane getting comfortable, he talked about that on the Greg Hill show this morning, that he wasn't real comfortable the first couple weeks in this defense. How are we feeling about this defense going into the challenge of stopping Josh Allen, James Cook, and the Bills?
Still a little bit frightened by it. Still been a little bit erratic, a little bit inconsistent. I mean, look at last week. I mean, again, it's a lopsided win, and you can say, they weren't playing all their guys at the end of the game. 7 of the 10 Carolina drives ended in Patriots territory. So they did move the ball, and then there was a little bend but don't break, and obviously we know Carolina is offensive back. But, like, it needs to be better, and I think obviously having Gonzalez back, and he was fine last week and should feel better this week, that, you know, he can finally maybe play some of that cat coverage, although, again, I'm not sure they would do that against Buffalo because Buffalo doesn't really have that guy, right? But it certainly allows them more flexibility, and I think they're getting – pretty much what they expected from the interior of that defensive line. You know, Barmore's been a little bit spotty. Williams has been excellent. But Barmore came on last week, had a monster game against backups, and but it was good. Like, you, that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're paying a guy $20 million,
yep.
You're facing the second stringer, and then the third stringer, kick their ass. And he kicked their ass.
You, Mike, you kind of look at this game and matchups and trying to find, you know, weaknesses that you can exploit. And one of the weaknesses for the Buffalo Bills on defense in particular is run defense. They are, ironically, the best pass defense in the league. And some of that has to do with the cupcakes that they've played. But, you know, the fact that they get run on like they do, the Patriots are, you know, kind of top of the bottom third, if you will, in rushing offense. Do you think this is a big game to kind of just have a breakout game for the running attack for the Patriots?
I think if you gave them true serum, they would tell you they would love to be a 50-50 team on Sunday, and they would love to be able to run the ball and have, you know, like, look, they still want explosives, but if you can tell me you get a 23 down and you're scoring touchdowns off of that, like, that's totally what they would want, right? So shortens the game, keeps the ball out of Allen's hands, you know, keeps your defense from being on the field a ton. So I think, like, if they can't run it this week, then I have serious questions about when they're ever going to be able to run it. Because you mentioned it, it's like Buffalo's a weird team, Ted, because they're lighter in the interior, and they'll be even lighter if Ed Oliver, it looks like he's going to play this weekend. If he's back, he hasn't been there for the last 3 weeks. Bosa on the edge has been really good against the pass, which, not surprising, right?
Yep.
But against the run, liability, people are running right at him and taking charge of him, kind of like people are doing with Chase on with the Patriots, sort of running at him and saying, go ahead, stop it. And he consistently hasn't been able to do it. So there are ways to get to this. I'll give you one other one. For whatever reason, Sean McDermott still puts a ton on his safeties. You know, they had Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, who was probably the best safety duo, you know, of the last 10 years.
Yep.
You're in that conversation,
yep,
right?
For
now,
sure.
Those guys are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop. Rapp's, I think, in year five. He's a tough player. You know, he hits people, but, like, he's not on the level of those two other guys. And Cole Bishop is a young player who's still figuring out his way. And there's a lot on those guys. And I think you can, and that's where Hunter Henry or maybe some of that stuff over the middle, where you can get them on the pass plays.
Mike, this is Patriots related, but we'll step outside the confines of Gillette and/or Highmark Stadium and look west. What did you think of last night's game and the best game to date of Michael McCorkle Jones and especially Kendrick Bourne? Hell of a connection the two of them had last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a throwback to year one of Mac, and just in terms of, you know, the connection he had with Kendrick, but probably the best football that Mac's ever played. I think that was a career high for yards for Bourne and matched a career high for catches. It goes to show you what surrounding an athletically limited quarterback with a, you know, his arm's not the greatest, but, like, he's relatively smart. Like, you give him a guy with that system and you coach him up and you tell him you believe in him, it's made a difference. What is he, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, 3-0 as a starter so far? Mm-hmm. And look, San Francisco's beat up. They got a lot of good players who haven't played with him yet, and they're still winning games. So it's, I don't know. I don't know how, if you're sitting in North Carolina in Chapel Hill and you flipped on the TV last night and you go, huh, interesting how that looks now. When I had it, I didn't want to say the kid's name after year one. So
I think, you know, he took a little shot too with the Pats in his post game comments. Just referencing.
I hope so.
Maybe even Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely not true.
No, it's true, Bill. He did. He basically said he's, in so many words, getting the best coaching he's ever got.
Oh, well, there's probably some truth to that. Mike, before we let you go, my spies tell me that you cheated on us yesterday, that you were on in drive time in Buffalo. I don't care to hear about that. But also they tell me that maybe the Buffalo radio hosts think that there's a chance that the Patriots could pull the upset this week. Is that true? And do you think there is a chance the Patriots pull the upset?
I think the Buffalo media contingent is a little bit disappointed with the level at which the Bills have played defensively. And I also think there's a little bit, and I've kind of brought this up this week, the last two games, Miami, where they get off this quick start, you're like, they're going to run out of the building. And the next thing you know, you look up again, and it's like, hey, how's Miami get the ball down 7 and moving it? Like, what happened? Same thing with New Orleans last week.
Yep.
Jump out to a fast start. They're going to run them right out of that place. And then again, third quarter is because we've got the Patriots game. I'm doing that, covering that. And I look down at the scoreboard and I'm like, wait, they're losing? They're losing to the Saints? Mm-hmm. So I think they've been playing with their food a little bit. Your advantage if they continue to look at you like they've looked at some of these other teams, or maybe Sean McDermott gets their attention this week and says, you know, this is a pretty big game. These guys are coming in loaded for bear, feeling good about themselves. Like, show them who's boss. Remind them who's the team that you have to go through, and you're not on our level yet. So I'm really curious to see how that sort of plays out, because I think they have the talent to, as you mentioned, put up a lot of points on the Patriots can match them at this stage.
All right, so get through the Breslow Sam Kennedy answer there. Who are you picking?
Well, I was giving you the sort of the inside information from the Buffalo people. I think mm-hmm. it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it's going to be relatively close, but I think Buffalo will emerge. And yet, I think we'll be talking on Sunday night, or well, it'll be Monday morning and Monday afternoon about that's not a bad loss,
moral victory.
Yeah. I know moral victories, yeah. But like,
yep.
I think this matters for this football
it
team.
Does.
Whereas
it does.
For other teams, we wouldn't. I think it matters for this one because I think it tells them that what Mike's been trying to coach for them and how he wants them to play, that if you do it that way, we can play with anybody. We can stand toe-to-toe with anybody, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
All right, Mike, enjoy the weekend. It's going to be beautiful. Get out on the paddleboard a couple last times before you head to Buffalo.
I'm off to Buffalo, man. I'm off to...
Hey, were you walking?
Ralph Wilson.
All right, good talk, Mike.
Yeah, that was fun. He must be at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, he's with Drake May. He borrowed his phone for a second there. It went so well for so much of it.
You know what, though? I'd want to go cover this game at this time of the year. Not in December.
It's a fun game.
But at this time, early October, please.
Buffalo, Sunday night, Allen versus the guy everybody wants to pretend.
It's going to be gorgeous, by the way. It's going to be like in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, no. It's supposed to touch 80 potentially. Yeah. I don't know about in Buffalo, but around here, it's supposed to touch 80 on Sunday.
One of my absolute favorite stadiums to play in.
Me too.
Because they're just right on top of you.
Yes.
Man.
And all these old ones are just getting put away. It's like you. Because it is similar in sort of the bowl structure to Foxborough. The original Buffalo, now they've built up around it in more over the years.
Yeah,
but
that front row is 5 yards from your bench.
Right.
It's right there.
And it's set down into the ground a little bit and that whole thing.
Is this the last year they're going to play in that stadium?
Yeah, then they move into whatever multi-billion dollar modern cool stadium that they probably need and is probably good for them. But it is a little bit sad. It's a cool environment. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll break down a couple of the comments that Mike Giardi had there in terms of this Patriots game. Sounds like they're worried in Buffalo, but I'm also worried that what he said about Sean McDermott convincing the Bills of something could become an issue on Sunday night. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
So I think they've been playing with their food a little bit. Your advantage if they continue to look at you like they've looked at some of these other teams. Or maybe Sean McDermott gets their attention this week and says, you know, this is a pretty big game. These guys are coming in loaded for bear, feeling good about themselves. Like, show them who's boss.
I love when Stiz says in my ear, good song.
Good song.
Of a song that he picked. Like, I assume you would think it's a good song. Just once say, terrible song, I picked it, not sure why.
Noah Kahn, a New England boy, too.
I like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little banjo. Get down with this.
What is it? Now, is this, what is this considered, Stiz? Style
I mean,
of music.
I don't know. Probably pop country.
Pop genre.
Yeah, it's
is
Noah
that where
Kahn,
we're going
Post Malone.
Now?
Post Malone.
A little folky.
Yeah, a little folky, but pop country seems to be this new big genre.
It is listed as folk pop on his Wikipedia page.
There you go.
Oh, look at that.
We got it, right?
So that's Mike Giardi here on WEEI Afternoons. Go back and listen to the entire interview, which his phone was good for about 87.7% of the interview. Yep. He got mad because he said I hung up on him. No, your phone went AWOL.
Yep.
Your phone was an issue, so I had to get rid of you.
He also just texted me and said, I think Ted's going to stuff me in a locker.
No, never. Kidding me? That's my guy.
I can hang up on you, Mike. I can't hang up on Drake May.
We go way back to ZLX days. That's my guy. Come on.
That is your guy. But he's talking about something that I find interesting there with the Buffalo Bills. 4-0, 30 points per game, not a real imposing schedule. And at times in those games, interesting that there's a little frustration in Buffalo, the way they're playing defensively, the way they're, quote, playing with their food. And we've talked about this. If you believe the Patriots are now the second-best team in the AFC East and have the second-best quarterback in the AFC East, this could be a prove-it game for the Bills. And I don't like that one bit because I feel like last time Josh Allen tried to prove it to the Patriots, he never punted, and he shoved it right up Bill Belichick's keister for a couple games in a row there in December and January. So that's a bit concerning.
Yeah, if we're going to go back to December of 2020 and then December of 2021, this ain't the same roster by any stretch, especially that Monday night game where the info leaked out via the ESPN crew that, oh, Bill Belichick doesn't believe Josh Allen has what it takes to be an MVP candidate. Then he threw for 332 and four touchdowns. Yeah, I think this is a little bit better team. Now, that said, we have overlooked the possible prove it game for Buffalo. Like, yeah, we have been playing with our food. Now watch when we really turn on the Jets. There is a chance that they try to flex on the Pats Sunday.
I would think so because, you know, look, they beat the Ravens in their opener in a really good game, 41-40. But the Ravens look a little lost right now. They're 1-3. And the Jets, of course, haven't won a game. They played the Jets and the Dolphins and the Saints. I mean, they're 2-14, the combined record between the first four opponents that the Bills have played, and they got the Falcons next week. So my guess is Sean McDermott is trying to make sure that these guys realize that the Patriots, they might be the best team they've played so far this year. And so in a way, he's going to be telling them the same things we're saying here, which is this is a measuring stick for our team.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone line, squeeze in JT in Cape Cod. What's up, JT?
Hey, I agree with a lot of what you said earlier about Drake May coming into his own finally and really progressing, taking that second year. Defense is playing well. Offensive line stepped up. One thing the Pats seem like they've done as an organization consistently for a while is just leave that one piece off the table. And they're doing it again with May. Like, he doesn't have that one guy he can throw to and know he's going to make that catch 3 to 5 times a game and get that first down. And they did it with Brady for multiple seasons. They would put guys to catch the ball with Brady that just weren't good enough. And, Ted, I'm interested to hear if you followed them after a time. Did you ever get frustrated watching games?
All right, thanks for the call, JT.
I had a really good answer in mind form.
Yeah, what was the question?
If I just heard the question. I just couldn't hear the question, but, man, I had a good answer for him.
Yeah, they don't have a number one wide receiver. No. We've talked about it, a true go-to guy.
Yep.
They've tried. You know, N'Keal Harry was supposed to – when you draft a first-round wide receiver, you could even argue that if you draft a second-round wide receiver, you're investing.
I would agree. Tyquan Thornton?
It hasn't worked.
Yeah, it hasn't.
And so
– But those guys weren't here when Drake May was here either.
Correct. Correct.
Maybe Tyquan was for a summer, but you hope that it's Kyle Williams. You know, you hope that it's a Travion Henderson. Well, that's what your hope is, that the young guys, they grow, you know, up with him. You know, that there's continuity, that they, you know, that they've been playing, you know, years and years and years together, and they know each other's movements, you know, succinctly. And so that's what the hope is that you don't bring in an older guy that's at the end of his career to mesh with the kid, because the kid's going to be here a lot longer than that older veteran. You want him to grow and kind of get better with the young, hopefully, you know, potentially potent young wide receivers you have on the roster.
Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we got to get back to the Red Sox. The season is over. the series is over. A historic loss in New York, a historic performance by a young Yankees pitcher. What does Ted Johnson make of that? We'll get his thoughts on that ugly baseball game next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.